So without further ado, I'd like to hand the pulpit over this morning to a friend, our worship leader, and one of our church elders. Why don't we welcome her, why don't we honour her, Kay Newton.
Hello, everyone. Let's just pray before we start. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray this morning that your words will be my words and that you will speak through me, Lord, and the words that you've given me, Lord, will be appropriate and there will be a ripe field to receive what you want to say this morning. Lord, I pray that you will just come right now, Holy Spirit, and just hover above us and around us and within us. Lord, that we will hear what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, I have a disclaimer right up front. To all the geeks in the room and all the IT specialists and all the computer programmers, I apologise for what I'm about to say. All right? I've said it now. So you can't come up to me afterwards and go, you got that bit wrong. I've had my husband check my sermon, who is an IT geek, and he says, I've dumbed it down, but it's all right. So I'm not saying anything that isn't true. So there you go. Okay. Ever since I was a child, I've been really intrigued by the weather. And I remember as a kid in school that when we had to write poems in English, is this okay? Yep. When we had to write poems in English, I always wrote about storms because I love storms, I love watching the rain, I love listening to the rain. And I remember lying on the front lawn with my friends and we'd look up at the clouds, and you probably all did it as kids and tried to work out what the shapes were, and that looks like an elephant and that looks like a horse and all of that sort of stuff. I just loved it. That was one of the things I loved to do as a child. And I loved when a storm was approaching and the clouds were rolling in, how it changed the atmosphere. And you'd start hearing, you know, squealing of tyres, you'd hear doors banging because people running outside getting their washing off the line. You know, all the atmosphere in the neighbourhood would start to change when a storm was rolling in. And even as an adult, I find myself sometimes watching the sky, watching the clouds, seeing what they're doing. And often Dorothy and I, when we're at work, because we have a window to look at outside, if there's a big storm rolling in, the first thing I do is go to the window. I just love watching those dark clouds roll in. I have been known to stop on the side of the road and take photos of weather. My daughter's nodding. My son's nodding. I have been known to do that. I just am fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by the power within it and the awesomeness of it. And before I go any further, my husband's come this morning, sat in the front row in a suit. There isn't much that gets my husband in a suit. Today was one of those days. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. We had a tradition with our kids when they were little called lightning watching. And it was a strategy on our part to stop our kids being frightened of storms. And I wanted them to have a fascination like I did. So we'd find a vantage point in the house somewhere where we could get the best view of the lightning when it came through. And what it did was it stopped the fear in the children on being frightened of a storm, because we were able to turn it around to, this is God's awesomeness. This is God's power. This is what he created. You know, and we talk about the birds and the trees and the, you know, everything growing because of the rain and all of that stuff as well. But what it did is it would stop that fear in the children. And every time a storm was coming, I'd be like, lightning watching, and we'd all race to this one point in the house. And we could sit there for an hour or two just watching lightning, and it was fascinating for the kids. All through Scripture, there's natural signs about weather that the Lord uses to describe a lot of things. And today specifically, I want to concentrate on clouds, partly because for me, clouds are amazing because they can just be wispy and blow away, or they can be dense and thick and bring with it a lot of power. And in his word, it's clouds and weather can symbolise a lot of things for God. It can mean his presence, it can mean his protection, it can mean his power, it can mean his omnipotence, hopefully I said that right, his guidance, his glory, his victory, his sovereignty, and lots of other things as well. When Moses was leading the children out of Israel, the Lord sent a pillar of cloud to lead them. And I think that's amazing that he sent such a visual thing for the children of Israel to see. It was something tangible that they could see that God was with them. God was leading them. They just needed to follow that, and he was leading them. In Exodus 13, 21 and 22, it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor day, sorry, neither a pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So the Lord was their comfort and their guide in that moment, in that time of the wilderness. And they knew he was there, and they could trust that he was there because they could see that he was there. The Lord also spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and appeared in a dense cloud. And it says in Exodus 19, 9, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you.'" God knew that those children of Israel needed something to see that God was speaking to Moses, to know that they could trust him. $50 to missions. Thank you. So they needed to know that God was there and that he was guiding them and leading them. So he showed them this visual display. And at the crucifixion, God did it again. In Luke 23, 44 to 46, it says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he has said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.'" So God again used weather and used the covering of the sky to show his power. Again, when Jesus was taken up to heaven in the clouds, it says in Acts 1-9, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." And when Jesus returns, it says he will ride in on a cloud. It's amazing. When I started to look in the scripture on how often the Lord talks about clouds, it's right through from the beginning to the end. God uses clouds to show things to us. In Matthew 24, it says, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." How awesome is that? That he's using that to bring his power and his great glory at that time when we're all going to go up with him at the second coming. Amen? Amen. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you'd probably dead if you haven't noticed, but there's something called contrails that planes leave behind. Yeah. Have you ever seen a plane fly across the sky? They leave what they call a contrail, which is a condensation trail. It's basically a cloud formation that's caused by the heat of the engine moving through the cold air at high altitude, which forms a vapour trail. And there should be a slide there to show you in a minute. No? Yes? Okay. No. Before that. No? Okay. Doesn't matter. You all know what a contrail looks like. It's those lines in the sky when the plane flies over and you see the vapour trail behind them. Doesn't always happen because it depends on what altitude they're at and all of that stuff. There's all this big science behind it. Okay. In our walk, we need to be aware of what we leave behind. What's our vapour trail? What's our contrail? When we leave a room, what are we leaving behind? What can everyone else see when we walk out of that room? Are we leaving a godly imprint? Are we leaving a godly vapour trail? Atmospheric conditions are very affected by, obviously, things that are going on with clouds and sun and rain and wind and all of that stuff. And in the natural, when the weather conditions change, the atmosphere changes. It can go from a beautiful sunny day in the winter to a raging thunderstorm by night time. And just like that, the Lord can roll this massive thundercloud through. In Psalm 135, it says, "He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses." I think that's amazing. He's got these storehouses with the wind in it. Isn't that awesome? And he can just open the door and out it comes, and he sends it to wherever it needs to go. God's awesome power is amazing. And I think sometimes we get so bogged up, so caught up in this world that we don't stop to think, this is our God. This is his magnificence. This is his amazing power that we can tap into. This is the God we have, the God we know, the God that lives within us. This is him. In our relationship with him, he allows us to have storms come through our life. And it's how we allow that storm to affect us, and that out of that will be the atmosphere that we have within us. Have you got an atmosphere that is creating a godly moment in your heart? Or have you got an atmosphere that is blowing wind and rain and hail and sleet, and it's just bringing you to that point of, I don't know what to do anymore because I'm in this storm? Change the atmosphere. There's lots of things that can affect that atmosphere. Anger, pride, relationship issues, money issues, being out of work, not liking the job you've got, not getting on with your boss, blah, blah, not getting on with another employee. All these things are things that can change the atmosphere in your heart. Recently, I watched the DVD, The War Room. Has everyone seen that? If you haven't seen that movie, get it out. It is a really, really impacting movie. It talks about this lady going into her prayer closet and changing the atmosphere around her because of it. And her prayer closet is called the War Room. And she goes in there and she puts lists on her walls of all of the situations she's praying for and all the people that she's praying for. And one by one, as God answers the prayers, she ticks them off. She changes the atmosphere around her by being in that war room. What's your war room doing in your atmosphere? There's several places in the Word where the Lord talks about the morning cloud. Now, I was quite fascinated by this, and I looked up several versions, and it doesn't always say the morning cloud. Some versions say the morning mist. But I, as you do, I Googled it. So I Googled the morning cloud. And there is actually a phenomenon called the morning cloud. And we are one of the few places on earth where it occurs in Australia. So in far northwest Queensland, in Burketown, from late September to early November, there's a thing called the morning cloud. Slide, thanks. So they can be up to 1,000 kilometres long and up to 1 to 2 kilometres high. And it's called a roll cloud or an arcus cloud. And it sometimes is only 200 metres off the ground, and there can be up to 10 in a row, just rolling one after another. They only appear at certain times of the year in certain places around the world, and Australia is the most common place for it to occur. They move at the rate of 10 to 20 metres a second, and one edge is continually forming new cloud and the other edge is continually evaporating. I just found that fascinating. I was like, that is just a fascinating thing. And that happens here in Australia. People come from all over the world to northwest Queensland to take pictures of this phenomenon. You didn't know that, did you? Shows I did some research. So this is called the morning cloud. In Hosea 13:3, it says, therefore, they will be like the morning cloud, like the early dew that disappears. I just think it's fascinating that God mentions the morning cloud. Isn't that amazing that that is a thing, the morning cloud? It doesn't just mean, you know, the clouds in the morning when you get up and you look out the window. This is the morning cloud. So when you get home, Google it. Okay. I'm going to now talk about today's new cloud, an earthly type of cloud. Okay. In the past, probably maybe 5 to 10 years, you would have heard phrases like uploading, downloading, bandwidth, NBN, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and, of course, the cloud. They're all become commonplace kind of words, and this is where the whole disclaimer comes in, guys. Just anyone who's a geek in here, just, yeah. If you actually Google geek speak, there is actually an entire dictionary of techno words that get used in cyberspace. Most of them I didn't understand, so I didn't bother putting them in here. Or everyone who's under 30 will understand what I'm talking about. Anyone who's over 30, some of you might understand if you work on computers. Others will be like, when's the well open? Basically, next slide. Basically, the cloud is a buzzword that vaguely suggests the promise and convenience of being able to access files from your computer anywhere, from any device, anywhere in the world. That's basically what the cloud is. Okay, we got that? Everyone over 30 got that? So from your phone, from your laptop, from your tablet, from your computer at home, you can access this information because it's in the cloud. It's up here in the cloud, all right? So I just wanted to explain that the cloud, this sort of cloud, it's not actually this mysterious thing that hovers above the earth that we all send files to. Well, that's kind of what you think when you're saying we're going to store it in the cloud. That's what you think. So when you store something in the cloud, you're actually storing it in a physical place, okay? So you're not storing it in a cloud. The file goes across either a wired connection or over Wi-Fi, which is wireless. Okay, everyone following me? Because there's some conjecture about what Wi-Fi means, so I'm not going to bother going into that. So it goes across this wired connection to a central computer somewhere in some far-flung place, usually on a giant corporation server computer somewhere, okay? And those files then become the possession of that corporation. So when you're putting something on Facebook or wherever in the cloud, it's out there now for the whole world to see. You'll never get it back. Those files become the possession of that corporation, most of whom we have no idea who they are. So some weird corporation in Botswana or somewhere have now got that file of yours. Okay? So when you're storing things in the cloud, just remember that. But it also does give you the convenience of being able to access those off your phone, off your tablet, your iPad, or wherever you happen to be, and wherever you happen to be. So you just need to be aware you can lose control of your information by storing it in the cloud. So we're connected via the wires to the cloud or on Wi-Fi. And if you're connected through a wire to the wall or via a wire connection, you're permanently part of that world, okay? Unless the Wi-Fi falls over or you pull the connection out of the wall, you are permanently linked to the world in cyberspace. Whether you're on there or not, it's another thing. You permanently have that connection now. You can carry a device in your pocket, go anywhere in the world, and pick up your files from the cloud. It's amazing technology, actually. And when I was researching this, this was a concept back in the early 90s by Bill Gates, is it? The techno geek. Mark's going, move on, don't. Stick to your notes, Kay. If any of you have had teenagers in this world, you'll know you can sit at a dinner table and your teenagers will be, instead of talking. And there's been times when our kids were all still living at home, we would say no phones at the table, because it ends up that unless I text them from the other end of the table, I'm not going to get a response. So we sometimes have to put boundaries in place when it comes to things like the cloud. My kids, particularly my daughter, sorry, Kirsty, she'll text me things and it'll be 3 hours before I notice because I have a life and I... I'm not implying she doesn't have a life. Please get me... Get that straight. What I'm saying is I might be doing the washing, I might be cooking, I might be cleaning, I might be at work, busy, whatever, but I may not check my phone for 3 hours. And she'll be like, I sent you a text message. And I'm like, why don't you just ring me? Oh, well, I thought you would respond. So that's the world that they live in. They live in that world all the time. And I absolutely love my daughter and she's beautiful and... Yeah, I don't want to put her on the spot. As Christians, when we give our heart to Jesus, our spiritual connection is established and it's permanent. Unlike the world's connection where the cloud is now in the possession of some far-flung place, or the Wi-Fi can fall over, or the connection to the wall might break or be pulled out, we have a connection to Jesus 24/7 without interference. He invented it. The world's just copied it. We don't need a wired connection. We don't need to get a password for Wi-Fi because we have the Holy Spirit. He's the conduit. He's the conduit and the connection. Something else that can happen with the cloud is congestion. Bandwidth. Bandwidth is how big your line is to the cloud. Okay? So if you've got, my son's smiling at me, you're doing well, Mum. If you've got a lot of traffic going along that line, you've got a lot of information travelling along that line, that bandwidth gets used up. So when it comes for your little file to go through, you can sit there going, oh my goodness, why is this taking so long? And then you find out someone in the house is watching a YouTube video or making a Skype call to one of their friends or playing an online game, and that's chewed all your bandwidth up and made it go really slow. They're watching a game and you got this really important document that's got to be somewhere, like right now. Really annoying. Just saying. So it's designed to take a certain amount of information, but things can slow that down. Congestion can come on the line. And that's what it can look like. My goodness, you would hate to be there, wouldn't you, right now? That is a test of patience right there. It's the same with your connection with God. If you have a heart and a mind full of stuff from the world and full of stuff that doesn't need to be there or that you're focused on, instead of spending time with him in that connection in your war room, then your connection's going to slow down. It's going to slow down. Because it's your mind's full of, what are we going to do for tea tonight? I've got so-and-so coming over and I've got to get that file to so-and-so. And before I do that, I've got to drop the kids over at dancing group. And before I do that, oh, my goodness, you know, my husband wants me to go and pick that up. And I've got to get some butter because I've run out of butter. You've got all this going through your bandwidth all the time, all the time. And God's just going, it's all right, I'll wait. I'll still be here when you're ready. I'll wait for you, because he's a good, good father. He's a loving father, and he will wait. Uploading and downloading. Don't you love those terms? I would rather have offloading. Forget the uploading and downloading. I just want to offload some of it to someone else. That would be awesome. Uploading is talking about the information you send up into the cloud, okay? So your files, your pictures, your music that goes up to the cloud, that's called uploading. Am I doing well, Craig? Yeah, thanks. Downloading is the information you want to pull from the cloud back to your phone, your laptop or whatever. Someone might send you something and it's sitting in the cloud. It all sounds weird, doesn't it, for those of us who are over 30. But downloading is when you pull that down to your stuff, to your little thing, okay? In our spiritual walk, we need to ensure that our uploading and downloading is kept in balance, okay? We can spend all our time uploading to God. Lord, I need you to fix so-and-so. They're really bugging me. Lord, I just don't understand why my husband keeps doing such and such. Lord, I just never have time to talk to you anymore, so I'm really sorry about that. But we're so busy uploading to God, telling him all the things that we want fixed, that he's still there just going, I want to download to you. But you won't stop long enough. You're too busy uploading. Just chill. Okay. If our connection to him and our upload-download balance is good and on the right path, we should be committed to transformation in Jesus' name. We should be being transformed. And we should be noticeably changing. If we are not noticeably being transformed, something's wrong. Something's out of kilter. Something's out of whack. Either we're uploading too much, our connection isn't established and permanent, something's out of whack. We might need to do a ping test. Dun, 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 dun! Okay, all the IT geeks are going, oh, no, she's going to try and explain this. Okay, a ping test, you can put that thing on, thank you. A ping test is what computer programmers use to test how fast your internet connection is working, what your upload speed is and what your download speed is. I'm looking at Brad and Bevan and I just see and Tristan. But anyway, we've heard a lot about the NBN, the National Broadband Network, which is supposed to be the answer to all our problems. Don't expect it to be, okay? It's still just going to be going through this bandwidth problem, which is going to have a congestion issue, but that's a whole other topic. So the IT guys will do this. This is actually in South Australia, so if the bandwidth looks unusual, that's why. And they do what they call ping. They have a computer command that they ping, but this is actually off Google. You can Google ping test. I've done it. You can Google ping test, and it will bring up a website for you that you can test the internet connection that you have in your own home or wherever you are. And it will do this little test for you, and it'll tell you what your upload speed is and what your download speed is. Now, for most of us, we can look at those numbers and go, yeah, righto. What does that mean? It might be helpful to get someone to explain what speed you should be at so that you know when you compare the results of what you should be at, because it depends on everybody's connection. So the point of it is to ascertain your speed, all right? In our Christian walk, there's times that we need to do a ping test to see how good our connection is, how fast our speed is. And like I said before, if we've got things in the world that are hanging on to us, dragging us down, pulling us back all the time, our ping test is going to show that our connection is slow, that we need to work on that because our connection is not where it should be. Okay, atmosphere. There's a couple of questions once you've done the ping test. What atmosphere are you cultivating with your connection to the Lord? Are you cultivating an atmosphere that's godly, that is transforming, that is noticeable to others? Is your atmosphere turmoil and worry and stress? If you're in a job that is creating so much anxiety that you can't cope, you need to ask the Lord, am I meant to be there? Do I need to look for something else? We need to look at our connection. Is it established? That's the first question. Is my connection to God established? Is it there? He's there. He's always been established to us. But is my connection to him established? And is it free of congestion? Is the bandwidth free for God to speak to me and for me to talk to God? Is it free, or am I allowing other things to fill up that bandwidth? Is my upload and download in balance? Am I allowing God to download to me as much or more than I'm uploading my junk all the time to him and asking for help? Because he wants to minister to us. He wants to fill us up. He wants to come and say, give it all to me and I will give you rest. Transformation. Is your transformation obvious? If others are not noticing the transformation in you, we need to work harder on what we're doing. Because if we're committed to transformation in Jesus' name, then we should be seeing a change in all of us. And that in turn will see a change in this church. It will see a change in this community. because we will be impacting those around us in a different way. Your contrail. What sort of contrail are you leaving behind when you leave a room or a conversation or a neighbourhood or even a church? Sometimes people move cities and have to go to a new church, so they have to leave their old church. What are you leaving behind? Have you left a trail of destruction behind you? Or have you left a godly vapour where that path is still open for you to go back? What contrail are you leaving behind? And is it time you did a ping test on your connection to him? Is it time you said, well, Lord, I'm really sorry. I've allowed the things of this earth to just take priority. And they've congested everything I do. It's filling up all my time and I just can't fit you in. It's time to do a ping test because there's something wrong with the speed. And when I was preparing for this message, the Lord spoke to me about a couple of things in here, a couple of people that might be coming in here. So I'm going to step out in faith. I saw a picture of a person who was standing on uneven paving, maybe at the back of their house, uneven, quite big pavers, and there's big cracks in them, and they're standing on them, and they're feeling like what they're standing on at the moment is shaky ground, uneven ground. There's someone in this room that this is going to speak to, and the Lord wants you to know that he's going to smooth those pavers out for you, and that you don't need to worry that the ground is all cracked and broken and uneven, because he's going to smooth it out so that you're standing on solid ground. I saw another picture of somebody chopping wood. Don't know if it was a man or a woman. I assumed it was a man, but they're chopping wood, like not wood for a fire, but carpentry wood, like creating something. And there's dust everywhere, and there's the smell of wood, and it's like you've been chopping this wood, and it's like you've been chopping it in the same place over and over and over and over again, and it's like you're not hearing from God. It's like you're just like, I keep doing it, God. Let's keep doing it. I'm doing what you called me to do. I'm doing what you've asked me to do, but I'm not getting anywhere. Nothing's being created in what I'm doing. I'm just bang, bang, bang on this wood. That person in this room needs to have prayer this morning, because God's going to change the atmosphere in your life. He's going to do something in you this morning. There's some people in this room that have pulled the plug from the wall, or their Wi-Fi's dropped off, and they need to have prayer this morning. They need to re-establish their connection with God. And I've never done this, but the Lord said to me, there is someone in this room this morning who has pain in their left ear, and God wants to heal that this morning. And there's a woman in this room. They're wearing red. That narrows it down, doesn't it? God's got a word for you this morning. He wants to say that you've been at a crossroads. And it may not be a woman, actually. It could be a man. But you've been at a crossroads, and you've been asking the Lord to give you a sign at the crossroads. He's going to do that this morning. He's going to tell you which way to go. He brought you here this morning on purpose, so you will hear this. So if I can have the worship team up. If we can do Jesus, I Need You. Thanks. If we can all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray this morning that you would just soften our hearts right now. Lord, that even right now, as each one of us do the ping test in our own heart, Lord, we thank you that you are always available. You are always there. Thank you, Jesus. If any of those prophetic words that I've said this morning relate to you, just come out the front and I'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What vapor trail are you leaving behind this morning? Lord, we need you. Oh, how we need you.